Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. So I'm going to talk a little bit about something that you need to be aware of. I'm just going to start with a guy by the name of Albert Einstein. See, Albert Einstein is quoted as having said that if he had just 1 hour, only an hour, to save the world, here's how he would use the time. He would take 55 minutes of that hour and focus on defining the problem, which left only 5 minutes to finding the solution. Now, you might be thinking, that's kind of a weird approach, isn't it? And I'm here to tell you it's not really a weird approach. It's actually a very logical approach to solving the problems that we encounter in life. You see, if we actually sit back and we look at the problem and we analyze it, we decide what it is we're trying to solve, we're going to get a much better answer. See, the problem is really just to know what the problem is. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I got an email from somebody that listens to the show, and they're asking for advice. I mean, this is not something that, you know, I don't experience on a daily basis. I mean, I get emails all the time. And if you'd like my input, if you'd like to bounce something off me, you can always send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. Of course, if you want to talk to an actual real estate investor, you know, you can call up our member services team, and you can reach them at 866-945-6565. I mean, they're available to assist our members, but if you're considering joining and maybe just have a real estate question you want to bounce off them, go for it, 866-945-6565. So let me get into this email that I received so that you can understand maybe the difficulty I'm having with trying to respond to this person. It starts off like this. As you're probably aware, like many metropolitan areas, the Dallas-Fort Worth market is white hot, with the news running several stories over the last few days about people needing to sometimes offer $50,000 over asking price in order to get a contract ratified. In other words, people are bidding up prices for properties, and this person is clearly talking about the single-family market. Let me get back to the email. We have personally experienced this. Fortunately, getting our offer accepted for a new house at $15,000 over asking that they'll be moving into. So they just bought themselves a brand new house. Well, a new house to them anyhow. Our original plan was to hold on to our old house as a rental property. But the rental market isn't as hot in 2017. Oh, okay, wait a minute. It kind of breaks up here. So they're saying back in 2017, they paid $243,000 for that house. And they're saying it's now easily worth over $300,000 between what the market's done and the upgrades that they've made to the house. However, MLS rental comps show that houses like ours are only renting for $2,000 a month, maybe less. Okay, that's a salient piece of information that we need. They go on to say this. This may be a very easy question based on long-term trends, but I wanted to provide that info in case there was some nuance to this. And here's the question. Should we continue to hang on to this house as a rental or dump it while the market is so insane that we can probably get away more or get way more than its value or what it's worth? So what they're pondering is, they may be able to command more in asking price, which allows them to get even more equity into their pockets. here's where Einstein might come into the picture, because there's pieces of information that are there, but there are pieces of information that are absolutely missing. They're absolutely missing. And this is why I'm struggling to answer this person's question. So what I'm going to do on today's show is I'm going to be your Albert Einstein. I'm going to try and analyze this question. And together, you and I are going to come up with maybe potential solutions for this individual, just given the information that we have. Now, the first piece of information that is missing, it's absolutely missing, is whether or not this individual knows how to operate rental property. Yeah, see, there's laws that you have to be concerned with. There's procedure. I mean, do you know how to put a property onto the market? Do you know how to market that property? Do you know how to correctly screen your potential residents and to select the best one? And what rental criteria are you going to use? Because you have to be uniform. Do you know what the fair housing laws are? Is the property ready to go onto the market? Are there any issues that need to be remedied with the property? Are you following a best product, best price philosophy so that you can attract the best residents? Yeah, I know there's a lot going on. And then do you have access to the proper leases that are going to cover the things that you're interested in? Or are you just going to jump on the internet and find any lease that's out there, which may or may not protect your interests, may not even be legal in your state, and use that? And then how are you going to handle the rental collections? How are you going to operate that property over time? Are you going to do quarterly inspections of the property? What are you going to do? And what is your business plan with regards to resident relationships? How are you going to treat that person? There's a lot to unpack there. So the first thing that we don't know is whether or not this person is properly educated. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into the numbers. Stick around.
Al Gordon's Gold. Memorable moments from Al Gordon's archives.
What passive income can do and how it can offset your ordinary expenses and how some of your perceived expenses that you have right now aren't necessarily realistic expenses when you become retired. And more so, you can continue to foster and grow those investment properties and get more or allow them to appreciate and then either refinance them, take more money out so you can buy more real estate, which is a tax-free event, by the way, or you might choose to sell them and do a 1031 into another piece of property or maybe two pieces of property. You know, it doesn't mean that you're stuck with 12, 13, or 14 houses. It means that's a starting place. That's all it is a starting place. When I got done talking to Phil, I could see the stress just kind of melt off of him. I really did. Because he was really concerned. I mean, he had legitimate fear boiling up inside of him. And, you know, and he might be right. He may be destined to lose his job pretty soon. But that doesn't mean he has to stop living.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you. You've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
Yes, he actually...
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you. Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm playing Albert Einstein today. What I'm trying to do is understand what the problem is. See, I got an email from a listener asking me some advice, and I'm always available to answer your questions. If you want to shoot me an email at askal@luinc.com, that's askal@luinc.com. I'll be more than happy to share with you information, but don't be surprised if the first thing that I do is I ask you a bunch of questions. And the reason I ask a bunch of questions is to make sure that I've got a good understanding of what your problem is. See, you may not even know how to communicate what your problem is. Or maybe you're just giving out certain facts and you don't think the rest of the story is important. But I believe the rest of the story is extremely important. In the last segment, I said, if you're going to be involved with renting out property, and see, I don't know from what this person sent me whether or not they have any experience being an owner of investment property, or if this is just an idea they got in the back of their head as an opportunity to make money. And in which case, I also don't know what their goals and objectives are. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to create income streams so that at a point in time, they can retire themselves with those income streams? Or are they trying to grow their capital? Are they trying to find investments that will allow their capital to appreciate, to grow over time, in which case they'll take that capital at a certain point and they'll reinvest it into something else? See, the email I read you, there's just a lot of loose ends in here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tackle the information based on what I know, and I'll throw some hypotheticals out there because I think you and I can learn from this question that's being raised, because it's a very valid question. You might be one of these people. You might be living in a house that you've lived in for a while, and you may be thinking, you know, it's time to upgrade or downsize or whatever you want to do, or maybe you want to move further out from the city. Maybe you want to move further into the city. I don't know what you want to do. But see, that gets back to your goals and objectives. What is it that's motivating you to do what you're thinking about doing? So what do you do with that asset? I mean, you could sell it. And because you lived in it for at least two of the last 5 years, the government says you don't have to pay any capital gains taxes on it. Any money you make on the sale of your principal residence, up to, I think it's $500,000 for married people. Don't quote me on that. I'm just going on what I think I know. That gain is tax-free up to a certain limit that the government sets, meaning that if you sold that money, paid off the note, whatever's left over, that's your money. And you can do with it what you want. You can go out and buy jet skis with it. You can go out and buy a rental property with it. But what this person is asking is whether or not it makes sense for them to retain the property that they have that they're currently living in and roll it over into a rental property, because clearly they were able to buy something else and they didn't need to sell their home first. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting from the direction of the email. Let's unpack this house that they're living in. So they bought it in 2017, what's that, 4 years ago? And they paid $243,000 for the house. Okay, so I'm guessing a $243,000 house in Dallas-Fort Worth is, you know, a better than average property. And they believe, because the market has appreciated and because there have been upgrades made to that home, they've done certain things. So obviously they didn't buy a brand new house, or maybe they did. We don't know, do we? Based on what they're seeing in the marketplace, that home, if they sold it, could be worth $300,000 or even more. So what do? Do they take the money and run? Do they convert it into a rental property? What do? And this gets back to whatever their goals and objectives are. What is it they're trying to accomplish? See, that's the thing we don't really understand. We don't really understand what it is they want to do or what benefit they expect to receive if they sell the house or if they convert it into rental property. Now, if they convert it into rental property and the market continues to appreciate and that particular property is in a highly desirable area, they can probably anticipate appreciation going on. You can never count on it. You can never bank on it, but it does happen. So maybe that's a motivator. Maybe whatever equity they have in that property, they want to retain it for whatever reason. Now, they did mention that homes in their particular area are renting for about $2,000 a month. Okay, so we've got a number in mind. The property can command $2,000 a month. And then they said, well, maybe less, but we'll go with the $2,000 a month. Again, I don't know where this home is at. There's no address for me to look at, so I can't go into our Quest software and I can't do an analysis to see if this person is right. We don't know where they're getting this rental income from. We don't know if they're getting it off of the internet. We don't know if they've contacted a realtor that specializes in leasing property. We don't know. But $2,000 a month seems to be the strike price. So let's unpack it a little bit. We know they did some upgrades on this property. So what we don't know is how much equity is sitting in this property. All we can do is make assumptions. Now, if they paid $243,000 in 2017, how did they buy the property? Did they put 20% down and do a conventional loan? Or did they do maybe an FHA loan in which they only had to put 3.5% down? Or did they buy it as a veteran, in which case they maybe didn't put anything down? And the reason we kind of want to know these answers is it gives us an idea of how much equity they have in the property. Because if they paid $243,000 back in 2017, depending on the debt service that was applied to that property, that's going to impact the amount of equity in the property. Now, I'm going to make this even more confusing for you. Ready? They said they did upgrades. They didn't say how they paid for those upgrades. They also didn't talk about what upgrades they made. They just said they made upgrades. So we'll just assume that those upgrades were done, but how did they pay for it? Did they do a cash out refinance on the property and take proceeds from that new loan in order to pay for the cost? In which case that would have reset their debt. Or did they pay cash out of pocket? I don't know. And how do you treat that? Upgrades made when you're a homeowner don't necessarily apply when you convert. I mean, the cost of doing that don't necessarily apply when you convert that property to rental property. But does that matter? Probably not. Probably not. So I've spent the whole segment pretty much confusing you, but I do have a solution. I have some numbers I ran that I'm going to share with you after the break that'll give us a better understanding of what's going on. Stick around.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So we're going to get into some of the numbers. I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here based on the email that I received, because I haven't received a response back from this person. And I want to help them address their problem, but we need to know some salient facts in order to do this. So just to recap, they bought a house in 2017 in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. They paid $243,000 for it. It's now worth easily $300,000. They believe it's worth more. I'm just going to say, let's stick with that $300,000 number. Kind of makes the math easy for me. And let's talk about the equity position that they have in this property, because I think that's the elephant in the room. We need to have an understanding of how much money that they're thinking is in equity, because it's that equity that's going to allow us to do something else. So we need to see, okay, what's that equity doing for us in its current situation, or what is that equity doing for us if we do something else? Yeah, that's one of the ways to shape the problem. So I'm going to make an assumption, and I'm just going to assume that this person, because they did upgrades, and depending on those upgrades, it may have cost some money. They may have put $20,000 or $30,000 into whatever they wanted to do in that house. Maybe when they bought that house, there were things that were old that needed to be remedied. Maybe they needed to put, I don't know, a new air conditioning unit in the property. We don't know. We don't know how old the house is. We just know that they've occupied it and owned it for the last 4 years. We don't know when this thing was built. So I'm going to make the assumption that they went to a conventional lender and they did a cash out refinance on this property and they've got good credit. And as a result of good credit, they were able to take out, say, a 80% loan that provided them some cash out. Some of you might think, hey, man, I can't get that much out of my property. And, you know, it just depends on the lender you're working with and what their guidelines and what their restrictions are. Also, it has to do with the law. Meaning, if you own property in Texas, there's actually a law in Texas that says you can't refinance your personal residence for more than 80%. And you're thinking, well, why do they have that? It's a law that's been on the books for a long time. And it actually insulated Texas to a certain degree back in the 2008 meltdown of real estate, because prior to that, people weren't able to over leverage their properties like they were doing in all the other 49 states. Anyhow, let's get back to this discussion. So I'm making an assumption they have an 80% loan at about 3% interest on this property. I'm assuming that their insurance is 1.2% of the refinanced amount of $300,000, and I'm assuming that their taxes are going to be about 2% of the refinanced amount, because the taxes are what taxes are. So when I do my analysis, and again, I'm not trying to be very specific because I don't know some of these salient facts, this individual will pay a fixed rate mortgage of right around $1,800 a month. It's actually a little bit more, but we're going to go with the number of $1,800. And the reason we're going to go with $1,800 is because that gives us an understanding of what our monthly expenses are. That's your principal, that's your interest, that's your taxes, that's your insurance. It's not vacancy and it's not maintenance. Vacancy is something you have to take into consideration. But if you're operating your properties correctly and you understand how to operate them correctly, vacancy can be very, very minimal, if non-existent. The maintenance piece is something you need to think about. See, when we put our homes into service, we have gone through those homes with a fine-tooth comb. Anything that is questionable, that it does not have a lifespan of 5 years, we fix or we replace it. It's that simple, because what we're trying to do is take the maintenance costs out of the equation. So our residents don't really have to call us very often. But this person believes they can rent that property out for $2,000 a month. All right, so if we do the simple math and we say, okay, your cash flow is going to be about $200 a month. That's pretty much the minimum that we want to see as Lifestyles Unlimited members. We want to see cash flow, and anything below $200 is kind of that's kind of a red flag for us. So if we take $200 a month in positive cash flow and we annualize that, we're going to get a number that equates to $2,400 per year. And when we take that $2,400 per year and we divide that by the equity in the property, now I'm making the assumption that we have $60,000 of equity in there, that it's worth $300,000. We've got a $240,000 note on this property. Again, I don't know all the salient facts. I'm just going with what I think is going on here. So if we divide that by $60,000, what we find is that our return cash on cash is 4%. 4% in my book is not a very good return cash on cash. There are deals out there that are producing much better cash on cash. So that gives us an idea that if we were to sell this property and go buy something else with it, we would do so potentially to make more money, either cash on cash or equity. I mean, that makes sense, right? But again, it gets back to, what is it this person is really trying to accomplish? Are they holding onto this home because they're emotionally attached to it? Or are they holding onto this home because there is something valuable that this home has the potential to do? Now, just based on the cash flow numbers that I'm looking at, I'm thinking, 4%? I mean, If I had that $60,000 and I was investing it somewhere else, I could do better. And you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute. If they sold the house, don't they have to pay commissions and costs of sale? Well, that depends. It depends on whether or not they choose to go with, say, a full service broker. So let's back this out a little bit. Let's say they sell the property for $300,000 and their cost of sale is 0.8%. That would cover broker's fees. That would cover the associated costs of sale. So now what we're looking at is a cost of sale of about $24,000. Now, if we subtract that from the equity, what we're looking at is only taking $36,000 out of this property. Ah, okay. So really, we're only going to get cash at $36,000. Now, you lived in it for two of the last 5 years, so you don't have to worry about capital gains, but what can you do with $36,000? And again, let's go back to the math on what the cash flow produces if you were to sell the property. Does that make sense? I'm all over the map here. If you retain the property, that's what I'm getting at. But what I'm looking at is if I sold the property and I only had $36,000, what is my return based on that $36,000 in cash? Because I'd want to get at least that if I was going to trade the property out. Now I'm at like 6.67% cash on cash. So the number's a little bit better. So what I'm getting at is if I took my equity out of that property, I sold that $300,000 property, I paid $24,000 cost of sale, and I have $36,000 in my hand. What can I do with that $36,000 that would be a much better investment for me than this particular asset? So what I would need to know is what's out there? What can I buy? Are there assets that will produce these types of returns? Well, let me just share one with you that showed up in my inbox not too long ago. It's a property in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. The after repair price opinion is $190,000, but they're only asking $118,450 at it. My broker strongly suggests go for $125,000. And when we come back for the break, we're going to break this deal down and we're going to get some answers. Stick around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So we're answering the question of whether or not somebody should hold a property that they've lived in for the last 4 years as a rental property, or if they should just sell it. And the first thing that comes to mind is, what do you know about owning and operating investment properties? Because if you've not educated yourself on how to do that correctly, you just don't know what you don't know, and you could run into a lot of problems. And a lot of those bad news stories that you hear about real estate operators and real estate residents not getting along is because the operators and the owners don't really understand what they're doing. They think renting out a house is as easy as throwing a sign in the front yard and taking 6 months worth of cash from somebody that shows up that wants to rent it. And basically you get them to share information that would be on a business card and you go into business with that person. I'm just telling you, there are people that do that. I think it's absolutely imperative that if you plan to be on the owner side of real estate investing, you need to get yourself educated. Because all those things that I talked about in the first segment where I just kind of went on and on and on, we address all those things. As a matter of fact, we address more things than I even brought up. We do that in about probably an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of time. We give you all the information that you need because that's what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. We're a real estate investor education company. We teach you what right looks like. And we can teach you in less than 16 hours. But let's get back into this deal because the question that I formulated was, if this person retains this property and they have $60,000 worth of equity in the property and they decide to rent the property out, they can get about $200 a month in cash flow, which returns about a 4% cash on cash return, assuming that they had $60,000 of their money in the deal, because technically they do. That's what the equity is. And then I also looked at it from the standpoint of if they sold that property, they wouldn't get all $60,000 worth of equity because there are costs associated with selling the property. Now, maybe they're really sharp and they can sell it on their own. So, you know, just you take 6% away. But I'm going to go with that $36,000 revised equity that if they were to sell, that's what they would get. So they would get $36,000 a month instead of $2,400 a year because it was only $200 a month in cash flow in that cash flow. So that would give them about a 6.6% return. Now, there's a deal that showed up on my desk a week ago. Now, I know this property has already been acquired. That's why I don't mind talking about it. But it gives you an idea of what is out there in the marketplace. Now, this is a property that is in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. And it has an after repair opinion of $190,000, meaning when this property is all fixed up and if it was made available for sale in that marketplace, it would command a price of $190,000. Now, this property, it's got some issues to it. And you're able to buy this property for only $118,450. That's the asking price. Now, my broker knows for a fact, and just kind of like this person mentioned in the email they sent me, the Dallas-Fort Worth market is on fire, so be prepared to pay a little more for a property. So if you could get the property for $125,000, there are some important things that we need to know. First of all, you're probably going to drop about $27,000 into rehab on this property. That's what the estimate is. So you need to know how to effectively rehab property. You need to have built a team that goes out there and does these things for you because you've got better things to do. And that's why you have a team of experts doing the things that the experts do, because you're probably not an expert. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying that's just the way it is. You're going to have about $10,000 worth of associated closing costs. So when the dust all settles, because you've used a hard money loan to acquire the property, and you've used that hard money loan not only to acquire it, but to pay for some of the repair costs, once you transition that property into your long-term conventional financing, the impact on your wallet is estimated at $22,500. So in other words, out of that $36,000 that you pulled out of that house, you've used $22,500. You've used about 62.5% of your available money. But let's see what that money does for you. Let's take a look at it because I think it's very important to know this. Based on the rents in that marketplace and the loan you're going to put on this property, you can anticipate cash flows of $290 a month. That's right, $290 a month, which is greater than the cash flow that you would receive had you held that other property. So right away, you're taking 62.5% of your available money, investing it into a property that is already producing almost 50% more cash flow to you on a monthly basis. So this thing annualized is going to produce $3,480. And because you only have $22,500 into the deal, your cash on cash return is now 15%. That's right. You heard me correctly. It's now 15%. So you went from a 0.6% return to a 15% return cash on cash, meaning the cash that you inject in this deal is giving you a better rate of return. So right there, that tells me on the surface, this is a better deal. This is a better path for you to follow. But I'm here to tell you, you have to be properly educated to do this stuff or you can get slaughtered in the process. It doesn't end there though, because Here's what that property also does for you. It allows you to capture capital gains. In other words, you're going to capture almost $28,000 in equity in this property. That's the difference between all the money you put into the deal and what that after repair value is. So that's $27,790. Now, let's take that a little step further, because you have the ability to put an up to 80% conventional loan on this property, meaning you can leverage up to $152,000 on that property. So your combined equity, if you put a $152,000 note on this property, is $38,000 in equity in this property. And what did we say you put into it? 22.5. So your return on capital gains, it's about 124%. What I'm getting at is you put $22,500 into that deal, but you grew that equity 124% because now that equity is worth so much more. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense. Can you see how this deal is already shaping up to be a better deal for you? Now, there's the whole depreciation thing, which has to do with taxes. And you would be able to depreciate that original home. As a matter of fact, that original home would potentially give you more depreciation write-offs because it's valued higher. It's like up around $300,000. But this particular home is going to give you a little bit less, but it's going to insulate that income stream because you're going to take almost $6,000 worth of depreciation write-offs on this property against the almost $3,500 in cash flow that you're going to receive. As a result of that, you still have almost $2,500 worth of depreciation that you can apply elsewhere. And if you can't apply it elsewhere, not a problem. You just save it for later use. That's the way it works. The property is also going to appreciate. Now, will it appreciate as fast as the other property that you sold? I don't know. But I will tell you this, just based on those initial numbers, I think it makes more sense to sell that original property and to buy a property like this one that has the ability to create these kind of returns. Oh, remember when I told you that you're only using 62.5% of your available money? Okay, so think about that. What if you needed another $22,500? Could you find it? I think you could. Because when you think about it, there's an ability for you to start making money and start making money effectively. I mean, you think about it, you could find another $9,000 out there to add to your remaining cash balance, and you could buy a second property, which is going to give you similar returns. So do what Albert Einstein said to do. Identify what your problem is. What is it you're trying to achieve? What are you trying to get to?
Al Gordon's Gold, memorable moments from Al Gordon's archives.
It's that rent payment that drives everything that we do in real estate. It's that rent payment that comes in that allows us to pay the mortgage on the property. That's the principal and the interest. That if you have a mortgage on the property, we have mortgages on the property because when you correctly leverage the property, you get the best returns on your money. So that's why we do it. You know, another thing that rent payment covers, it covers the taxes. It covers the insurance on that property. In some cases, it covers the maintenance on that property, depending on how you're structured, whether you're in a triple net lease or you're just going to go ahead and take care of those maintenance expenses yourself. And then, of course, there's other expenses that could come up. Little repair things here, fees or licensing there, which have an ability to impact that rent. So you have to ask yourself, if you're a retail guy or gal and, you know, you own a property in an area which is being affected by coronavirus or affected by, you know, anarchists or affected by looters or affected by just, in my opinion, lawless people that the government won't do anything about, you're at risk. You're at huge risk. And I'll tell you what. People don't necessarily need to have that place to work. They can actually implode. They can actually shut down and just say, that's it, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm filing bankruptcy. And where does that leave you? Potentially it leaves you with a looted retail site that hopefully you have the right insurance on. Because if you didn't have the right insurance on it, you're in trouble.
Thank you for
for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.